We're going to continue talking about transformation, and today we're going to do a good old-fashioned word study. I know sometimes in meetings, doing word studies can be tedious and not entertaining, but they're really important because they build a block of truth in you to help you understand so much more. And this is one of the words we wanted to discuss today, one that is important. It's really important for you to understand the New Testament and for you to understand transformation, that you understand the different meanings of a single word. The word we want to talk about today is called the word, in English, we call it flesh. Now, I say in English because one of the problems you run into in the Bible is that because we are reading a translation that came in the New Testament out of the Greek text, that sometimes the word in the Greek can have many different meanings in English or in your language. So, for instance, the word love, we see the word love all throughout the New Testament, but if you look behind it, behind the word love, you'll find it came from a Greek word, and sometimes a Greek word is agape love. Sometimes it's phileo love. You know, there's many different words for the word love. Erotica, eros love is another type of love that's mentioned. And if you don't know the root of the word, you can just assume that the word love means what you think it means. Sometimes it doesn't mean what you think. And this is why word study can be very, very important. And today we're talking about the word flesh. Now, mainly it comes from the word in Greek called SARS, S-A-R-X. I can't pronounce it. I'm not a Greek in the studying, so I'm not trying to teach the Greek here. But I do want you to have a basic understanding that it's important that you know the root words of words so you know where it came from. And this word that we get flesh from can cause trouble because it can mean different things. The word SARS itself is translated into many different words in the New Testament, and flesh is one of them. Now, we can assume that flesh sometimes means the emotions of the natural man, the mentality, the thoughts, emotions that come from the natural man. But sometimes it means your body, and sometimes it means your old nature. So we want to look at some of these verses and this word, so that when you begin to read these scriptures, you will be able to find in context which one he is talking about. So for instance, the word SARS from the Greek, which is usually translated flesh, can mean either your old nature of sin, it can mean your body, it can mean the emotions and thoughts of the outward man. It can mean the actions of worldliness, like he fleshed out. It can even mean culture and race. So we're going to look at some of the scriptures here. And because it can be translated to so many different versions, the only way to really know what the word flesh is talking about when you read it in your Bible, in your language, is to see it in context. It could be like the word pot in our English language, that I'm going to get some pot or get a pot. It can mean many different things. So what kind of pot? A pot for cooking, a pot for growing a plant in, a pot for smoking. It can mean many different things. You have to put it into context to know what kind of pot I'm talking about. If you were a pizza delivery guy and a food delivery guy, and I contacted you and said, hey, I'll give you an extra $1,000 if you can get that food to my house in the next hour, $1,000 tip. Okay, I'll do it. All right, I'll see you at my house. Wait. I need to know where your house is. Well, I can tell you the city. Yeah, but there's thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of houses in that city. I can tell you the neighborhood. Yeah, but there's still hundreds and hundreds of houses. I can tell you the street. We still have a problem. I need you to give me some context about where to find your house so I can get that $1,000 tip. Well, it is a house in this neighborhood. Great. Can you give me more details? Well, it is on this street. Okay, great. It's a two-story house. Okay, great. Two-story house. It's got a garage. Great. What color is it? See, as I give you more context, it helps you to discern which house I'm talking about. And in some of the words that we're talking about in transformation, there can be confusion because people just assume that the word flesh means something and the word spirit means something. And we're going to tackle some of these words. And we're starting with the word flesh today. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll start here in verse 38. It says, "But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed his own body, its own body." Then it says, "The flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one type, kind of flesh of man, another of flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds." So here we can easily see that the word flesh means the type of skin that you have. Like, is it a human skin? Is it the feathers? Is it the hide? What is the different type of outward skin that's on that animal? That's the word flesh in this verse. We can read down here in verse 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." So here we can see a little bit of a different meaning for the word flesh, that a person's body, flesh and blood, their body, will not receive the kingdom of God, the natural body. And in this chapter, we know he's talking about the new body we're going to receive. So that is one meaning of the word flesh, the skin. And then another meaning is the actual body, the body part, like the fingers and the toes and the nose that you have and your ears. That's part of your body. That could be used in Scripture for the word flesh. All that we're going to talk about today is very important. So I know it can be kind of a not exciting subject, but it's a building block that you need to get into your heart so you, and into your education, so you have that to help you to see. When I see the word flesh, I have to stop and I have to decide, what does it mean? Does it mean my outward body? Does it mean my skin? Does it mean my natural body? Does that word flesh mean my old nature? Does that word flesh mean the emotions and thoughts of my natural man? Does that word flesh mean worldliness? What does that word flesh mean? I have to find out. Is it my old nature? Is he talking about? I'm only going to find out when I'm a detective and I find in context what he's saying. Give me more context. Every time you see the word flesh, stop and look around and find in context just so you can focus in on what is the real meaning that he's trying to bring across in the Scripture. Because of these words that we're going to talk about in our word studies under transformation, there's been much confusion and misinterpretation of Scripture. So the word flesh that we read there means the skin. A bird has flesh. It's the type of skin. Man has flesh, animals have flesh, fish have scales, that's flesh. So the type of flesh, the meat, not even just the meat, but the skin. Also, the body, the whole part of the body, every part of it. Now, we're going to look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at another place that uses the word flesh, or in the Greek, sarx. And you can just look up in your own translation or your own Strong's Concordance or on your Bible app, and you can look up and find the Greek word yourself and study for yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 16. Here Paul is writing, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." So I've heard people preach, we regard no one according to flesh, meaning I don't judge you for how you live or how you act or what sin you're in. I don't regard you according to the flesh. But that's not the context. See, in context, if you read this chapter, you'll find out the context he's talking about, that Christ, we now know him thus no longer, is not even talking about his natural body. He's talking about his heritage, his culture, his race, that he was a Jew, he came from the Jewish family, from Israel, through Abraham. And now that no longer gives you extra credit towards God, that the Gentiles have access to God too, not because they were born a Jew or born of Israel or born of Abraham. We all have access to God through the nature of Christ. So here the word flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16 is talking about the nationality, is talking about the heritage, the race of Christ, that he was and came through the nationality of Israel. But we don't regard that as being what we need anymore. We're no longer look at someone, as in the Old Testament, if you weren't a Jewish person of the Israel nation of Abraham, you really didn't have access to God, didn't have a right to it the way the Jews did. Well, now in the New Testament, it's different because we're all born again through Christ. The Jews and the Gentiles all have to come through Christ. So here that word flesh or sarx in the Greek, same word, different meaning. You have to study it. You can't just assume things. Now, I'm going to stop here because I don't want you getting so geeky that you can't even read your Bible and you have to do word search on every word. The best way you do it is take your Bible, read it, study it, and read it and read it. And the Holy Ghost will begin to bring up questions. When you begin to see things and know things in the Scripture by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, then you go into your Greek and your studying to help to amplify what the Holy Spirit is showing you in the truth of the Word of God. Because the full context is what's important. And really, the Holy Ghost is the best one to teach you those things. So the word here means nationality. Now I'm going to give you another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, same word. We're talking about the same word both in my Bible and in the Greek and how it is translated differently. Now we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is actually a very important one to help you understand. Let's see, we'll start in verse 16. Or do you not know that he who's joined to a harlot is one body with her? So it talks about a man and a harlot, and they join together, and they become one body. Well, that's the act of intimacy. You become one body. But then he says, he shall become one flesh. He says, shall become one flesh. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Now, he uses the word flesh in this verse and the word body. They're two different meanings. And so the word flesh here doesn't mean the body because he already mentions the body. The word flesh here is talking about the emotions and the soul, the natural soul within the body. So your natural body contains the natural part of your soul. That's what the word flesh here means, is the natural emotions and natural intellect and the natural desires of your outward body. It uses the same word in the Greek, but it comes up with a different meaning when you see it in context. So the message of word study is some words you have to look in context before you can really settle on what it means. Much confusion has happened in the Bible simply because we've taken a word that we thought we knew and it took it out of context and it gave it a different picture. It gave it a different meaning. Now, we're going to go look at Romans chapter 8. Now, another word for the word flesh is the old nature. This one's very important that we understand that the word flesh here means old nature, nature of sin. That is one word that the word sarx, is used to describe in Scripture in context, is the nature of sin. Romans chapter 8. We'll start in verse 1. And the word I'm looking at here is the word flesh. When it uses the word flesh here in my Bible, it means nature of sin, old nature of sin. Before you were saved, you were born from Adam with a nature of sin. It was a nature, a dark nature, a nature you didn't earn. It wasn't your fault. You were just born of that species, the species of Adam, which is a nature of that's already dead and already in darkness. Christ, at your salvation, brought light and life out of darkness and death, and now your nature is a new nature, a spirit of life, a spirit of light. But your old nature of darkness is what you were born with and is what was sending you to hell. Well, praise God you got born again. And one of the words for old nature, nature of sin, is flesh. There's other words, unrighteousness. The Bible calls that nature unrighteousness, body of sin, old man, death, darkness, spirit of this world, spirit of bondage, and even the spirit of man, talking about the same thing. Well, this word flesh can mean the nature of sin, not the nationality, not your body, not your emotions. Someone said they fleshed out. They were driving and someone cut in front of them. They yelled and screamed, and I just fleshed out. I had a carnal moment. Well, that's an emotion of the natural man that you gave into. That's not talking about a nature. A nature is a nature of sin. Christians can have a nature of light in them and still give in to their fleshly desires of their natural man. But yet they have a nature of light in them, so they don't have the nature of sin in them, but they have a fleshly moment. But here, the word flesh, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. The word flesh means old nature of sin. Now, it's important you understand that. I'm going to bring you down, and then I'm going to bring you back up. So Romans chapter 8, let's read verse 8. Romans 8, verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now see, you can interpret that if you don't know. Here I read, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, okay, so that in kind of our culture can mean if you're listening and obeying and thinking about life through your natural man and you're living fleshly, then you can't please God. And we have kind of a lingo that says, you know, spiritual is being nice and spiritual is listening to the Spirit and prophesying, and fleshly is smoking and drinking and being mean and angry. But there's another verse here in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, verse 13, you will die. Now, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's a pretty solid statement. That's not like you might die. No, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Not you might, not there's a 80% chance or a 99% chance, you're going to die if you live according to the flesh. So if you interpret this verse as meaning, if I live according to following my carnal thinking, let's say I get born again, I go to church, but I don't give any money, I don't win souls, I don't pray for people, I don't share the gospel, I go work nonstop and, you know, maybe indulge a little bit into worldliness. Here it says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. So someone might say, well, that means that if you live by your flesh, you're going to die. If you get saved and you start to follow your outward man's desires, you're going to die. And, maybe. But it doesn't say maybe. It says will. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. So my question is, okay, how much according to the flesh? Because it doesn't give us a guideline here. If you live really bad to the flesh, if you're a murderer or an adulterer or a fornicator, you're going to die. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say if you live to the bad, really bad parts. It says if you live according to the flesh. Does that mean if I have a bad day, I sleep in, I'm going to go pray and I sleep in, I'm going to go fast and I break it. Instead of fasting 4 days, I fasted 4 minutes. Does that mean because I lived according to the flesh, I'm going to die? Because if you interpret this verse 13 here, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You have to take it literally what it means. That if you have just one bad flesh day, one bad flesh moment, one bad emotion, one bad thought, one bad action in your life, even as a Christian, you're going to die. And I can see why some people believe that you have to get saved every day because you lose your salvation every day by a bad thought, because that's a flesh out moment. But when you see in context that the word flesh here isn't talking about any of these other interpretations except the nature of sin, it makes total sense that if you have the nature of sin in you and you're not born again, you're going to die. There's no hope for you. There's no hope to get to heaven until you're born again. So we're going to read chapter 8 here a little bit and study the word flesh. The word flesh, again, whenever you run across the word flesh, the word S-A-R-X, sarx, and I know I'm pronouncing that wrong in the geek, so you'll have to forgive me. Whenever you run across that word, you must stop and you must write down, take a note in context, be a detective, in context of the verses and the chapter around it, which of these interpretations, translations is correct? Is he talking about my outward man? Is he talking about my emotions and mindset? Is he talking about my actions of fleshing out? Is he talking about my nationality? Is he talking about my old nature? Is he talking about the desires of my body? Is he talking about my skin that I'm wearing and my fingers? What is he talking about? You know, you don't want to be just an uneducated Christian. We're supposed to grow in the knowledge of God. It's important that you learn these things. It has helped me so much to discover these things and to learn these things. Someone had a bad hair day and they said, I had a fleshly day. I fleshed out, had a bad hair day, couldn't get my hair looking pretty. And then I got angry at my wife. And then I got angry at my kids. And then everything went bad. Do you ever have one of those days where it's always when you're in a hurry, driving down the road, running a little late, you get behind a slow car. It never fails. And so that extra anxiousness that you have to get somewhere amplifies how slow the car is in front of you. And you get more and more fleshly as it goes. Well, this word flesh is not talking about that. This word flesh in Romans 8 is talking about the old nature of sin. The old nature of sin that you were born with, that you have to have quickened to a nature of light, to a nature of Christ, to a nature of righteousness, or you're going to go to hell. What sends a man to hell is not their actions. If I had the worst man in the world and the sweetest lady in the world, and I took them both before God in the afterlife, the evil of the evil man, the bad works of the evil man, the lack of goodness in the evil man is not what's sending him to hell. We know this, that good works don't get you to heaven. The righteousness of Christ in you. Heaven is an exclusive club for family members only. So what you need to go into heaven is not a list of good works. Many people in the world think they're going to go to heaven and they're going to stack up. There'll be a stack of their good works, versus a stack of their not so good works. And as long as the stack of their good works is higher than the stacks of their not so good works, they think they're going to heaven. But we know that good works don't get you to heaven. That's why we know many people who are very giving, very caring in this world are still lost because they're not saved. They haven't humbled themselves enough to believe for salvation through Christ. In the same way, we know Christians who are a little sour that are going to go to heaven because they have the nature of Christ in them. So it's not a person's good works that send you to heaven, and equally, it's not a person's bad works that send them to hell. What sends someone to hell is if they have the nature of sin in them. The only thing in the first judgment for the world where God separates the sheep from the goats and he separates the saved from the unsaved is the only thing he will be looking at is, do you have my nature in you? That's the only requirement for heaven. Now, after that, there's another judgment where we will be judged by our actions and what we as Christians have done in our life, with our money, with our time, with our heart, what we've allowed ourselves to do in this body. We will be judged and receive a reward based on those works. But the first and most important judgment is the one that says, are you going to heaven or not? And what qualifies you for heaven is only one thing: if you have the nature of Christ in you. What disqualifies you for heaven is only one thing: do you have the nature of sin in you? In Romans 8, here the word flesh is talking about the nature of sin. It's not talking about the outward man, the outward emotions, the outward actions, none of that. Let me show you. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the right interpretation is, before you were saved, you were condemned. You were handcuffed, trapped, locked in on a road destined for hell because you were condemned to death by the nature of sin in you. But now that you're born again, that condemnation, the word condemnation here doesn't mean a feeling of, I feel condemned. You know, some Christians, they use this verse like, man, I just feel really bad because I went out and got drunk last night and right before church on Sunday too, and I just feel really bad. And I asked God to forgive me, but I still feel bad and hungover. And well, brother, you know, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And yes, that's right, I'm free. No, that's not what this means. This means before you were saved, you were condemned to death. There was a sentence of death on you. There was no hope for you to get out. And you were on a road chained by the nature of sin, and you were on a road to hell. That's where you were going. You were condemned to hell. All your crying, good works, efforts, striving, you know, here he's talking to the Jewish believer. All your good works under the law still had you condemned to a nature of sin. And here he calls it the flesh. But you are no longer condemned once you're born again. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the sin nature, the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the new nature. The word Spirit will be another word we tackle, and you'll be shocked when you find out what that same word means in the Greek and can be interpreted into. That's another lesson. Another great word study coming, the word Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So now I am born again. I am free from the law of sin and death. The flesh, the old nature, flesh, here the word is flesh in this context, in this chapter. That old nature has been removed and quickened into a new nature of light, making me righteous because I have the nature of Christ in me. For the law, Spirit of life of Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So I want you to see the same word flesh here, different meanings. Just in these few verses, it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, talking about the body, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is according to the old nature versus the new nature. You don't walk according to the old nature anymore because you no longer have an old nature. You have a new nature. You have the appetites of the outward man. But here the word flesh is talking about the condemnation of sin in the flesh. Talking about the nature of sin. Talking about the dark nature you were born with. But you've been born again with the light nature of Christ in you. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, who are not unsaved, but now are saved. We walk according to the new nature in us. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you live according to the old nature, it's going to dictate to you who you are, just like you have a new nature in you telling you who you are as a Christian. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Now the word carnally minded here comes from the same word as what we talked about in the flesh, sarx. So to be carnally minded isn't meaning I'm thinking about the wrong thing. I'm having the wrong thoughts in my mind. I'm watching the wrong video in my mind. I'm thinking mean about my neighbor. That's not what this means. This means carnally minded means that your old nature is still in you. Be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So here the comparison is not thinking about hamburgers and pizza and wrong videos and wrong movies and wrong music and carnally minded versus spiritual mind. Think about the Word. I'm thinking about Jesus. I'm thinking about angels. I'm feeling the presence of God. That's not the comparison here. There may be places in for that comparison, but here that's not the comparison. The comparison here between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind is that you have a unsaved person and a saved person. So before you were saved, after you were saved. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now here, the word carnal mind doesn't mean the outward thinking mind. It means an unsaved mind is enmity against God. Even the best behaved, the holiest, the sweetest, the lovingest unsaved person is still carnally minded and dark of nature. It will not go to heaven. Because the carnal mind is empty against God. It is not subjected to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Now, he's referring to chapter 7, where he's talking to a Jewish guy struggling with trying to be good, but knowing there's something in him, a nature of sin in him, that no matter how much you try, an unsaved person, even an unsaved religious person or an unsaved holy person or an unsaved sweet person. We all know people who are unsaved. They haven't humbled themselves to accept Christ, who are loving and caring and kind and gentle and sometimes even more giving than church people. But they're still carnally minded. So no matter how much you try, if your mind, if you're not born again and you still have that nature of sin in you, you're still at enmity with God. Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So in the flesh means those who are not saved cannot please God, no matter how much they try. They can go to church their whole life. They can give all their money. They can do all these great things in the name of God. But if they're not born again, they cannot please God. So you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now he's saying that you're born again, the one I'm writing to. You are not in the flesh. You no longer have an old nature of sin. You have the nature of Christ in you. You're in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, this Spirit of God is talking about the new nature. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. We'll get into the word Spirit in another fantastic word study that's coming. Even though it's capitalized, see, even the ones who translated into our language from the Greek, they had to decide their best what to translate it into. So sometimes they capitalize it thinking it's the Holy Spirit. This is not in context talking about the Holy Spirit. In context, it's talking about the nature of Christ in you, your new nature. The comparison here is your old nature, flesh, against the new nature, spirit. You don't have both of them at the same time. You've never, ever had a nature of darkness and a nature of light. They don't exist in the same world. They don't coexist together. You either have one or the other. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed in the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So every word spirit here means new nature. And every word flesh in this verse means old nature. So you do not have the old nature, you have the new nature. If indeed the nature of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the nature of God in them, he's not his. In verse 10, if Christ is in you, the body. Now, here's the first word, the first terminology for body that's used that's important. Because here in chapter 8, this is where he uses the word body. So the body here is different than the word flesh. And many people get these confused because they think the word flesh in chapter 8 means my actions, my emotions. That if you live by the flesh, if you're carnally minded, if you have a bad thought, you're going to die. But hopefully you're seeing that the word flesh here, carnal mind, comes from the same word, means nature of sin. Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, if you heard me teach this, you understand. Here he's talking about the nature of the Christ is in you means the nature of God in you, the nature of righteousness. That the body, this natural man, is left to darkness. It wasn't rescued, it was left in sin. But the spirit, the inner man, is now alive because of the new nature in it. Again, we'll go to the word spirit in another day. But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. So that means he already used the word body. So he's not saying the appetites of the body. Here he's saying you are no longer condemned, a debtor. You're no longer condemned to live by the nature of sin. See, the condemnation of living by the flesh, the nature of sin, is if you're not born again, you can't run from your nature. You can try your very best. And that was the Romans 7 guy, the Jewish man who was trying his best to please God and wanted to please God. But the law proved to him that he had something working in him beyond his own desires, his own wants, and that was a nature of sin that he received from Adam. Adam condemned the whole world to have this nature of sin, and you were born with that nature of sin. Jesus came to give you a nature of righteousness, a nature of life, so that you can be born out of the nature of sin and born into the nature of light, into the family of God. So the nature of sin that you're condemned to before you were saved means there's no way out. You're locked to it. Your good works can't fix it. You're begging God, your love for God. None of it was ever good enough except for receiving Jesus and receiving that new nature in you. And when that happened, you were quickened and your transformation process began to where now you can live by that new nature instead of by the old nature of sin. You are no longer condemned. Condemned does not mean you feel bad about it. Some people need to feel bad about their failings so they'll quit doing it. No, it means that you're no longer trapped in that nature of sin. So a good way to read some of this is the appetites that you have. When someone says, you know, I've tried to change, I'm a Christian, and I just can't. This is just the way God made me. See, that's them trying to say, I'm condemned to this habit, this practice. These verses say, no, you're not condemned to them anymore. You've been set free. You have a nature of Christ in you. Your nature yells at you every day. Well, it doesn't yell you. It speaks to you every day, righteousness, love. That is what your new nature says. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors, not to the flesh. We're no longer have to be what the flesh, our old nature, told us to. Why? Because that old nature was quickened. It was changed in a moment. It was just from darkness to light. It's no longer there. You no longer have a nature of darkness. The only reason you sin as a Christian is because your outward man desires it, not because you have to anymore. Your outward man desires it, but you have a nature of righteousness. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Verse 13. So if you live according to the flesh, in context, means here, if you're not born again, no matter how good you are going to die. But if by the Spirit, so now it's talking about the new nature, but if by the Spirit you put to death, mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. So here I want you to see transformation being preached right before you in Romans 8. The mortification of the desires and deeds of the body are different here than the word flesh, which is talking about the old nature of sin. For as many as are led by the sons of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. So here we see that the spirit of bondage, you did not receive it again, is talking about the same word, flesh. You did not receive that spirit of bondage. You received a new nature of Christ in you. You now can overcome anything. Doesn't matter how messed up your outward man is, how messed up your past is, how messed up your family was. Doesn't matter what culture you're from, what nationality you're raised in, if you're rich or poor, male or female, none of that matters. Your past no longer matters because you have a new nature in you, and you have an inner man that's made righteous and holy, and now you can build up that inner man and mortify. So I'm going to stop here and just say, if you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 13, I'll read one more time. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Meaning, if you have an old nature in you and are not born again, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit, with the help of the new nature, you put to death the deeds of the body, you mortify the desires and deeds of the body, you will live. So you have desires that are still in your natural man, that aren't because you're a sinner, is because your natural man was left in sin, the natural body. So by mortifying the desires, indeed, so the reason you have desires, the reason you have direction and desires and deeds of the natural man that are contrary to a Christian walk is not because you are not saved. It's not because you're not cured yet. It wasn't that you were only partially saved. Your new nature is as righteous as it's always going to be. When you get to heaven, you won't be more righteous than you are right now because you have the nature of Christ in you. That's what makes you righteous. But you're wearing a body that has desires and deeds, that has plans and direction for you that is contrary to the will of God for you. It's not all evil, but it's still of this earth, and it still must be mortified. So we must mortify not just the desires we know of drinking and smoking, but also the desires of pride, the emotions of arrogance, the desires to earn things from God. There's so much that must be mortified of the natural man, because the source of love that God wants you to get love now is your inner man, not your outward man. So, in closing, the word flesh, whenever you see the word flesh, stop and begin to be a detective. What I like to do is, if it's the word flesh for my old nature of sin, then I put a little underline under the F in flesh. I just put a little underline, so that tells me this means the old nature. If it's something different, like the body or nationality, if it's the emotions, I put a little line on the top of it, so it helps me to know quickly which flesh I'm really dealing with here. And so the word flesh in Romans 8 is talking about the old nature of sin. And whenever you see the word flesh, you must stop and be a detective and decide, what in context is he talking about? What is the proper interpretation and translation for this word in the context of the chapter and even the book sometimes? What is he talking about? And then it will help you to get rid of much confusion. And today we're talking about the word flesh. We're going to talk about the word spirit. We're going to talk about the word soul. They all have different meanings in our language, and it's important we understand the different options we have in translating it. So I hope I've helped you. I know it's a word study today, but it's so important that you begin to understand that some of these words have multiple meanings, and you have to know which it means. Otherwise, it can get all confusing. And many preachers have used these words out of context and have come up with messages that fit, but it's the wrong context. So it's not doctrine. It's not truth. It has to be truth for it to have power to change you. You no longer have a nature of sin if you're born again. That means that you can have as much of God as you want. The desires for sin don't come from an old nature of sin. They come from the outward body, the desires of the outward man. And praise God that we are transforming out of this natural man into living into the spiritual creature that we really are. For the rest of eternity, we will live in victory. And we can start today. God bless you, and thank you for spending time with me. I'll see you soon.